Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 8. And we're going to look at chapter number 8 and verse number 40. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 40. I'm gonna cut some of the jokes out here and just get right to the message. And I hope that's all right with you. And I'm going to try to get right to the point. In Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 40, do you always stand for the reading of God's Word? Okay, let's do that. Would you stand with me, please? And verse number 40, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." Boy, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it, if we'd just start waiting for Jesus. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" I want to preach on this thought this evening: to touch the heart of God. To touch the heart of God. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for what the reports I've heard of how you've worked and blessed in these meetings with Brother Stansel and Brother Johnson, and how that you've been here and you've stirred the hearts of the people. And Lord, I thank you for what you did at our church this week, and even tonight as Brother Brent preaches for me. I pray you'll bless him and help our people again. Lord, I thank you for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and what it has represented all these years. I thank you for Brother Bob Ross and the hard labor that he and his wife put into this work. And now as Brother Jerry continues it on and carries it on, I thank you that it just continues to flourish and continues to grow. Now, Lord, if we're going to continue to grow, we're going to have to get a hold of your hand. We're going to have to get a hold of our God. And we're going to have to hang on. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to understand that tonight and teach us this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. When I was a little fellow, my dad used to make me sing. I hated it. I hated it, you know. I hated it like I hated broccoli. I didn't want to get up in front of people and sing. It was hard for me, but he would make me sing. And he would drag us from church to church and revival meeting and singing and that kind of thing. And I really didn't like it at the time, but now I'm glad as I'm older that my parents made me do some things I didn't want to do when I was little. I get a little weary of parents that'll say, "Well, I just don't make my kids go to church. I was made to go to church when I was a kid, and I don't make them to go to church now." And I think, you know, that logic, it just doesn't make any sense. That's like somebody getting them saying, "Well, I was made to take a bath when I was a kid, and bless God, now that I'm an adult, I ain't taking no bath." You know, or brushing their teeth or using deodorant or something like that. You know, I'm glad we don't think like that in those realms, you know. But it seems like with church, a lot of folks think that way. But I'm thankful. I'm glad my parents made me do some things, especially when it came to the things of God. Even though I didn't understand it, and even though at the time my heart wasn't really in it, I was getting some truths. I was getting some word, the word of God on the inside of me that later would come to fruition, that later would make a difference in my life, so to speak. But at these meetings that we would go to, I learned a lot of the good old gospel songs that we sing even today that a lot of folks have left off. And I'm sure Brother Stansel is familiar with, and your church is, because this is a good old Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, old-fashioned, traditional, not contemporary music kind of a church. Just as you come out of my subdivision, there's a huge billboard, and the contemporary church in town has this billboard up, and they've got a white white background, and they've got a piano on one side, and they've got an electric guitar on the other. And it says this, it says less like, and it's got that piano, and it says more like, and it's got that guitar. Oh, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. When I saw that, I got so ticked off that I came that close to buying my own billboard. And I was going to put it right underneath theirs. And it was going to say less like an electric guitar and more like and have a Bible opened up, you know, or something. I don't know. Not that I'm very controversial. Not that I'm the type of fellow that likes to pick a fight or anything. But for crying out loud, that got under my skin. And I'm thankful for churches like this that still hold not only the King James Bible up, but the old songbook like you do and the songs that you sing. But I learned some of these great songs like, when I first fell in love with Jesus, I gave him all my heart, and I thought that I couldn't love him more than I did right at the start. But now I look back over the mountains and the valleys where we've been. It helps me to know that I love him so much more than I did then. And I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. How about this one? You know this one. Goes like this. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. I'm sorry. I had to. It doesn't work when I do it. It's just not the same effect. But it was fun, and I needed a drink. How about this one? I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. And then this one. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath the load of guilt and shame. Sing it. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Do you remember the first time Jesus touched you? Do you remember that? Maybe it was vacation Bible school. Perhaps it was revival meeting. Might have been in the Sunday school class, or perhaps you were just at home. Doesn't really matter where it was, but if you've been touched by Jesus, you ought to remember it. Amen. You ought to know it. Because when Jesus touches somebody, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in their life. I remember when I was just a 5-year-old boy. It was during a Sunday night service, and my dad was preaching. He was talking about hell and how hell was a place that was a terrible place, and that it was a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and how that you didn't want to go there. And I thought to myself, I don't want to go there. And I began to get convicted, even as a little 5-year-old boy, of my sin. Up to that point, the worst thing I'd ever done is broke my sister's crayons. And she deserved it. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I was guilty of sin, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. What was he doing? He was touching me. He was touching my heart. And I remember going home that I was concerned about my salvation, and I said to my dad, I got up back before you had to have seat belts on. I popped my head up between my mom and my dad there, and I said, hey. I didn't say hey, I didn't talk to my parents like that. I said, Father, it was probably more like this, Daddy. But I wanted to get saved. And there we were, driving down Highway 41. I got saved faster than anybody in this room. I got saved at 55 miles an hour, brother. And we were moving on. And I'm thankful for that. And he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, what joy flooded my soul. Something happened. I didn't really understand a lot of it now. I know a little bit more of it now, though. He touched me and he made me whole. And you know, down through the years, I've been touched many times. I was 9 years old, just 9 years old. We had a watch night service, and the Lord began to move my heart a little bit, and I went forward and surrendered to preach. Now, you know, I'm sure a lot of folks thought, what in the world is that little kid doing up there? He doesn't know what it means to surrender to preach. And no, I didn't really know what it meant to surrender to preach, but I know God was dealing with me. God wanted to do something with my life, and I didn't know exactly what that was, but I wanted to be yielded to that. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, my dad was a preacher, so maybe that's what it ought to be. So I went forward, and that probably wasn't the right reason, but nonetheless, he was dealing with me. And then I got a little older, about 16 years of age. In between 9 and 16, to be honest with you, I really hadn't grown as a Christian. I got away from the Lord a little bit, and I didn't get to go to a good Christian school like you kids get to go to here. I went to a Christian school, but it was Christian in name only. And the kids I went with, they didn't love the Lord, and I just got away from the Lord. I'm sorry to say, I'm sad to say that my heart got cold, and I just wasn't interested in the things of God. Oh, I could go to church and I could put on a pretty good show. I mean, I was the preacher's kid. I pretty well knew the lay of the land, so to speak, and I could fake my way through that nobody knew. But in my heart, I knew I wasn't right with God. And I remember one night God got a hold of my heart and he convicted me of my sin and he shook me up. And I went forward and I began to cry and I began to weep, and nobody really knew why I was there, but I knew why I was there, because the Holy Spirit of God, he was dealing with me. He was touching me. Well, we went through high school and graduated high school and got married. And about the age of 22, our first son was born. And I remember I was in this church right here. And I was sitting right about where Brother English is sitting right there. It's good to see you, brother. And good to see Brother Eichelman back there, too. Man, that's exciting. But I was sitting right about there. And I remember as the preacher was preaching, as if the Holy Spirit of God just drew back and just aimed at me. And he let one of them fly and hit me right there. And that call to preach that God had initiated when I was 9 years old, he reminded me of. And you know, I didn't want to be reminded of it at that point, because I was 22. I had a wife, I had a son, I had a house, I had a car, I had a truck, she had a car, I had a job. Amen, it's a good thing. She had a job, and things were going the way I wanted them to go, until, as you said, the Lord kind of interrupted my plans. And God called us into the ministry, and we went off to Bible college. And I remember at Bible college, many, many different messages and sermons that were preached, that it was just as if I was the only person in the room. Why? Because the Lord was dealing with me. He was touching me. He was touching me. Well, we got out of Bible college, and I went to work for my dad, and I had 6 good years of working with my dad as a youth pastor and as a Christian school principal. I spent my 6 years in purgatory, amen, and I ain't going back. No. Amen, Brother Reiser. Amen. But I don't know if the Lord touched me or if I just got out of Dodge, but at the end of those 6 years, at the age of 31, I remember the Lord began to deal with me about pastoring. I knew that he wanted me to pastor for a long time, Brother Johnson, but I just couldn't bring myself to take that step. You know, it's like being on that high dive, you know, and you're thinking, I can't do this. And once you do it, you're like, whoa, man, that was great. Let's do it again. But when you step out by faith and you leave everything behind and you go into an unknown land, so to speak, and you just go, just you and God, and it's either sink or swim, and you're just not really sure, but you know there's something there. God's pulling you. God's directing you. And yeah, there's some doubt there. And confirmation, I don't know if it did for you or not, but confirmation for me came later, after I was busy somewhat in the ministry and saw some of the fruit of what God was doing, and I realized, oh, this makes a little more sense now. But God was touching my life, and I'm glad he did, because there's a church in Danville, Kentucky tonight, and they're having services tonight, and God blessed us with 6 fruitful years of ministry. And in some ways it was unusual as the church grew, and we went from nobody to about 400 members in 6 years after we left. And it was an exciting time. It was a wonderful time. But then on Sunday night the phone rang, and it was a man from Owensboro, Kentucky that I knew, and they told me about some things going on at the church and asked if I would come and candidate. And I, to be honest with you, I wasn't interested, because everything was pretty much the way we wanted it. just about every time I get it the way I want it, God changes it. But anyway, it was just about the way we wanted it, and everything was going good. But there was a little something there. I can't explain it. But God was reaching down again, and He was going to move us, and He was just putting His fingertips on my heart at that point in that time. And He began to work, and He moved us to Owensboro, Kentucky. And, you know, that was a hard thing for us. That was a hard thing because we left our babies. We left our converts. We left the ministry that we saw grow from nothing to a wonderful, thriving ministry. As far as we were concerned, it was anyway. And that was a very difficult thing, and it was hard. But I made a decision a long time ago that whatever it takes for my will to break, I'll go where He wants me to go. I'll do what He wants me to do. If God wants me in Africa next year, you're supporting me and I'm out of here. you know, whatever it is that God wants, and that's the way we ought to be. And you know what? That's easy to say, I guess, when you're 18, 19 years old and you're ready for some adventure. But when you're 41 years old and things are kind of settled in and the way you want it, you know, that's a little bit difficult maybe to say. But I want to always stay that way. I always want to be that way. But I can testify this evening that my life has been blessed over and over again as the tender hand of the Lord has time and time again reached down and touched me and moved me to serve Him and to do more for Him. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Sing it. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Not only have I seen the Lord touch my life time and time again, but for almost 23 years now, I've watched Him touch my wife's heart. And I've watched Him work in her life. And I think I told this story, and I'll not go into detail, but I think the last time I was here, how that when God called me to preach, I just wasn't sure that she was going to go for it. You know, Marty's kind of one of these security nuts. You know what I'm talking about? You know? She likes a regular paycheck. I don't know what's wrong with it, you know? She likes to live in the same house, you know, and all these things. But, you know, the Lord was so good because little did I know while He was working on my heart, He was working on her heart because we're a team. Now, I'm thankful that I don't think everybody can say that. Every marriage can say that necessarily. But I'm thankful that when God has moved me, my wife has gone with me and she's followed and she's allowed the Lord to lead through her husband. It'd be a difficult thing to follow the Lord if your wife wasn't behind you and for you. But I'm thankful. I've got a wife that has strong convictions. She loves her family. And I've watched Him as He's worked in her life time and time and time again. And by the way, you know, when you start praying for God to touch, you know, your mate or to do something to change your mate, you better be careful. He's very much likely going to touch you and change you. Because many times that's where the need is anyway. So we got to be a little careful about that. But, you know, I'm thankful for that. When my son was young, Andrew, when he was born, the very first thing we did was go to the crib and pick him up and sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And I told him the gospel, how to be saved. He couldn't understand me, but I wanted the very first thing he heard to be the Word of God. And did the same thing with Jared. And I watched and waited for God to touch their hearts. And, you know, you got to be very careful with children. You don't want to lead them into a false security. You want to make sure that they come to Jesus because they're responding to the touch of the Holy Spirit on their life and their heart, not the touch of dad or the touch of mom. But I'm thankful that both my boys have trusted Christ as their Savior, and I can remember when God touched them, and it was exciting. It was a wonderful time, and I'm just thankful that the Lord has continued to work in their lives. And I felt the touch of the Master's hand many, many times. I think of that poem, I can't quote it for you, but the touch of the Master's hand was battered and scarred. You know, the auctioneer thought it was not worth much money. You remember the old violin story and how that they couldn't get anything out of it, a dollar, maybe two, and then a gray-haired old man came from the back and picked up the bow and tightened the loose strings on the old violin, and he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. I get part of it here and there. But finally, after he was finished, the auctioneer said, "Now what am I bid for the old violin?" And the bids began to come in, 1,000 and 2 and 3, and up it went, you know, and finally sold. And some of them cried, "We don't understand what changed its value. What made the difference?" And quick came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And it's great when God takes a man whose life is out of tune, and he reaches down and he touches that man and he changes that life. And the crowd's always amazed. The crowd can never understand because, you know, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. But to see the difference that's made in the life of somebody when God reaches down and he grabs their heart and he touches them. Are you praying for God to touch people right now? Are you praying for God to touch your loved ones' hearts? Are you praying for God to touch the hearts of the people in this community that you're trying to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I think that's a good thing. I think you ought to do that. But I came across this not real long ago, this story that I've read time and time and time again. And I got to thinking, it's interesting here. This woman, she reached out and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. But that's not what touched Jesus. Because in verse 48, he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." In other words, he said, "You've touched the hem of my garment with your hand, but your faith has touched my heart. Your faith has touched my heart." And I got to thinking about that. Could it be that God touches hearts in response to those who have first touched his? You say, "Well, I'd like to see God save my grandpa. I'd like to see God save my aunt. And I'd like to see God save my brother. I'd like to see God save my neighbor." And that's a good thing to pray, and I think you ought to pray that. But it might be that somebody in this room, instead, before they get to step two, ought to go to step one and say, "Lord, I want to touch your heart. I want to touch your heart." Because when her faith touched his heart, something happened. What happened? Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter didn't understand. "Everybody's touching you." No. "Somebody touched me. Their touch went beyond the hem of my garment. It went to his heart. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And when that happened, the Bible says that his power or virtue came out of him. We know that to be the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Now, it's something when the heart of man gets touched, but there's limitations on that. But when the heart of God gets touched, there's no limitations. There are no limitations. If we could understand that principle tonight, if we could get alone and get a hold of God and just somehow, some way, if we could muster enough faith to touch the heart of God, I'm telling you something, it'd make a difference in your family. It'd make a difference in this church. It would make a difference in this community. It would make a difference in your Judea. It would make a difference in your Samaria. It would make a difference in the uttermost parts of the world. We need the power of God on our lives. That same power that healed this woman is available today, not primarily to heal, although that happens from time to time, be it ever so rare, but the power of God is rather for the purpose of healing the sin-sick souls of men and women. Every Christian needs the power of God in their life. And you're not going to get the power of God in your life until you touch the heart of God. You touch the heart of God, it initiates a response. God is such a responder. Matter of fact, he made us to be responders. He really did. He does things for us, and then he waits for a response. Doesn't he? He waits for a response to see if we're going to have the right response, the right reaction. You know, but God is such a responder too. When God responds, he always responds to obedience. He always responds to faith. He's already bound himself to his word that he would respond to those two things. And when we exercise faith, when we obey God, those things touch the heart of God and it makes a difference and God's power is released and it makes a difference in the lives of the people that are involved. I want to live a life in such a way that my heart's desire reaches out and touches the great heart of God and causes the power of God to be released upon my life, not so that I can enjoy it, but so that others can benefit from it. Enoch touched God's heart with his walk. Nothing was more important to Enoch than his walk with God. Not ball games. I drove by some ball games a little while ago, and I said to Marty, I said, man, why can't they do that on Thursday night? You know, it just grieves me. Owensboro is the sports capital of Western Kentucky. Everybody comes to Owensboro to play softball and soccer and all this kind of crazy stuff. And it's go, 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 go all the time. And it just, it grieves me when we've got church going on and people are doing things like that. But you know, Enoch, nothing was more important to Enoch than his walk with God. Not a ball game, not shopping, not work, not even company. You know, I don't know how you teach your folks, but I teach our folks, hey, if company shows up on Sunday and they don't want to go to church, man, let them know where the refrigerator is, let them know where the cabinets are, let them know where the toys are, and say, hey, folks, we'll be back after church. You know, that's just the way we were brought up. Abraham touched God with the heart of God with his faith. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise, but rather believed God. And that touched the heart of God. And power was then transferred from God to Abraham's life. And it had an impact on others. It made Abraham the father of many nations. David touched God's heart with his worship and his praise there on the hillsides of Judea. He would meditate and he would think about the word of God, and he would get enraptured in all that God was doing. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? God, you're amazing. And that touched God's heart. And God gave him a psalm. And God gave him another song, and God gave him another song, and God just continued, the power of God continued to be released, and it made David a king whom the Bible says that there'll be no end to his kingdom. Now we know that the son of David's going to be the one that's going to carry that out. But God, David touched his heart with his worship. What is worship? Is that worship? No, that's not worship. Worship's personal. Worship's falling down prostrate in front of a holy God. Worship is between you and a holy God. Something God longs for. It's personal. It's not something we do to get attention or to sway a crowd. Daniel touched God's heart with intercessory prayer for his people. And when Daniel touched God's heart, the power of God was released, and it locked the jaws of the lions, and it made Daniel an interpreter of dreams and gave him position and influence in the lives of at least three, maybe four kings. The Apostle Paul touched the heart of God with his zeal, and the power of God was released and placed upon Paul to evangelize the then known world. We need some Enochs and some Abrahams and some Davids and some Daniels and some Pauls that will touch the heart of God with their walk, with their talk, with their worship, with their prayer time, with their zeal. Who touched me, said Jesus, as he turned around to see the woman he'd just healed, smiling tenderly. Thy faith hath made thee whole, he said so kind and sweet. That ground became holy ground that day at Jesus' feet. Why? Because she touched the hem of his garment? No, because her faith went past that garment, went to the very heart of the Son of God. And when that happened, it initiated a response. It flipped the switch, it pushed the button, the power of God was released, and it changed her life. And it changed the life of all the people around her. Can you imagine her going home and her calling up her doctors? Hey, buddy, I'm suing you for malpractice. And I mean, she was just... It made a difference, I'm going to tell you. Nobody could do what Jesus did. Now I'll close and say this. Yes, God touches hearts, and we should continue to pray that God would touch the heart of everybody that we know, of everybody we come in contact with. But I believe before God will touch their heart, he first is waiting to have his heart touched by the people in this room that are praying those prayers. That will make it effective. That will make a difference. We ought to live and walk and pray in such a way that we touch the very heart of God. I said it a moment ago, when man's heart is touched, there are limitations. There's only so much I can do. But when the heart of God is touched, all fetters are broken, all chains are broken, and look out, something's about to happen. I believe if we're ever going to experience revival in our homes and in our churches, and God knows we need it in our country, we're going to have to first touch the heart of God. And if we could ever get that concept and grasp that truth, it would change us. It would make a difference. The power of God would be released in such a way that folks would stand around and say, "What just happened? What took place?" Somebody touched the heart of God. Would you bow your heads, please? I ask the pastor to come at this time, but let me pray with you. Father, I pray that you'll just continue to bless in the rest of this meeting tonight. And Lord, I know that you so much you want to touch the hearts of men. Thank you for touching my heart. And Lord, I'm going to ask you, would you just keep touching it? Would you never stop? But Lord, I pray you'll help us to understand tonight there's so much more could be done. So many more lives could be influenced and changed if we as a people, individually, collectively as a church, would touch the mighty heart of God.